Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Ketzel Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. We are now going to be dealing with the last section of forbidden foods, and that is dealing with bugs. This is Simon Memva of the 46th chapter in the Ketzer Shulchan Aruch. And this is one of the most complicated and one of the most difficult sections in the halachas of kashrus, and that is bugs. So let's just jump straight in. The Torah tells us, "Al tashaksus nashar sechem v'chol asher sashareitz l'satamu ba'asitamu." The Torah tells us in Parashat Shmini that you are not allowed to make yourself disgusting by consuming any of these shiratzim, these creepy crawlies, these insects or bugs. So it is a problem. Now we're going to look at a few examples of this. We're going to look at bugs in water. We're going to look at bugs in fruits and vegetables and bugs and dealing with bug infestation. So a few basics. Let's jump straight into bugs in water. If a water source has a likelihood of bugs, may I drink the water? Or can I just say, I probably... most likely didn't consume it. So the answer is no, but without straining or checking that water. How high a percentage does that need to be to warrant a checking or straining? So it needs to be what's called a miyota motze, around 10%. And the OU kashrus policy for any restaurant in New York under the OU is to have filtered water. This is not necessary for the dishwashers, but it is necessary to do this because in New York City, water does have bugs in it. There are cocoa pods, there are different types of bugs which are in the water. I remember personally myself once being in Yeshiva University when I was in university, and I went to one of the water fountains to fill up my bottle, and I knew it said it was an unfiltered, because why you was careful about this. And as it was unfiltered, I took a look in the bottle, and I saw the bug very, very clearly. This was not a small bug. This is not microscopic. It was very visible to the naked eye, and it was alive. It's see-through, but it's clearly a bug. And so it was a good thing I checked. There are bugs. It's not a health issue. It is a kashrus issue, which is why New York water is a very good water, but it happens to have these particular bugs in them as well. What happens if I cook the water? The problem is it's still a problem. There are bugs there. What happens if I just soak meat in or wash food with it? It's still a problem because they could stick to the food as well. How do I filter it? It needs to be filtered through a cloth. The OU policy in general is you need to have a filter rated for 50 microns to be sufficient. Commercial filters are usually fine as well. So these are important things to know about. I sometimes hear about people who poo-poo this idea and they say, there's not really bugs. Well, they should really just read about this. This is very clearly discussed and documented. And Rav Shechtu is the Pesach for the OU, one of the Pesachim for the OU. Paskins is based on the level of finding these bugs, which is only New York City, what as an example. What happens if about infested vinegar? So apparently the usual filter says the Kitzur is more of a problem there. And so one needs to boil it and then filter it as well. What about worms and fish? Are they a problem? The answer is yes, they need to be checked. The Kitzer cites that pike and herring in Eastern Europe were particularly a concern at his time as well. Now, this is only a concern about bugs which don't grow in the fish, but bugs which come from the outside and then grow in the fish as well. We're going to see that, generally speaking, bugs which grow in a detached item from the ground are themselves less of a concern. But this means to say, if we find bugs in fish which are in organs which clearly are coming from the outside, so for instance, if there are bugs found in the intestine, the mouth, the ears, the liver, or the brain of the fish, then those are problematic as well. Are there any concerns? Now, the concern with fish, the answer is yes. The Kitzur cites, besides worms, sometimes there's small bugs which are found between the scales, around the ears and in the mouth, and the fish which have a greater proclivity to these types of insects do need to be checked. What about bugs in cheese? So generally speaking, some cheeses have little worms which grow in them. So ironically speaking, if the bug grew in the cheese, was born and grew in that cheese, and has never left the cheese, technically speaking, it is not an issue. But if it's disgusting to a person, that is a concern. And certainly if it has left the cheese, it is a problem as well. Generally speaking, we don't have this. There's oversight in this, but certain Swiss cheeses, this was actually seen as an advance. Now, bugs in fruit and vegetables. So there are many types of vegetables which can get different types of infestation depending on locale and depending on the type of At the top of the of it, and bugs in fruit and vegetables are usually are a problem, with the exception if the bug grew in the fruit and never walked out on the ground or was attached to the ground. So that means to say that, let's say there was an egg of a bug which was in a fruit. The fruit was detached from the tree and then it grew and hatched and then grew in it. That's not a problem. But it's very generally speaking, that's not usually the issue that we're concerned about. We're usually concerned about infestations, which happened when it was already attached to the tree, or that it came from the outside afterwards, and we have to be concerned about this. So it for all intents and purposes, it's a very limited space that of this where the setter exists as well. So if you just jump straight in, if there is an infestation concern in this fruit, can I sear it with fire? The kitzer says no, searing is not enough. You need to clean it out and check it. What can be done? So every vegetable has a different type of bug which infested, and people need to know what type of bug it is and therefore what one is actually looking for when it comes to this. The OU as a guide. Rabbi Eisen, who is the leader of the Vada of the Five Towns in Farakwe, has a very sophisticated guide in checking for bugs. One needs to know what one's looking for, or one will certainly not be able to find what one's looking for. Bugs are only a concern if they can be seen to the naked eye. However, if you don't know what you're looking for, you will not see it. As well, different types of lettuce, kale, there are raspberries. These are different types of bugs to be looking for. There are certain products which are heavily prone to infestation. What can be done? So the Kitzer points out that a Yirei Shamayim should avoid eating fruits which are so severely infested, generally speaking. Examples are raspberries, some even say strawberries, which is why many kashrus agencies do not allow certain fruits to be part of the recipes. In general, because the level of infestation is usually so high that it takes an incredible amount of time to be able to check them, and most of the times it is very hard to ascertain that they are fully glut. They are fully safe of bugs. Different kashrus agencies have different policies regarding this as well. If this type of vegetable does not usually infested, do I need to check? And the answer is no. Carrots, potatoes, things which are generally speaking not infested by bugs, then one does not need to check them. What about nuts? So nuts need checking, and the Kitzer has a specific method. He talks about heating it up and then hitting this particular type of nut and seeing bugs emerge. But generally, nuts do need checking depending on the level of infestation. What about worms in a fruit? Let's say that it is still ripening. So there's a whole discussion about if it's attached to the ground, then the Kitzer goes to the idea that then it's considered that the worm has in fact been upon the ground and therefore is a concern. If it came afterwards, he talks about an entire discussion about waiting 12 months for them to disintegrate and then soaking them and boiling them. Generally speaking, this is not so relevant today, because with a concern that we have for vegetables and fruit are bugs which came from the outside and therefore need to really be checked properly as well. What happens if I have flour? Does flour need checking? The answer is yes. Worms infest flour and it needs to be sifted. If there's a concern for mites, regular sifting is not enough as well. What about wheat, which is affected? So it's a problem to grind up that wheat if it's infested because that's an issue of anovadlin isulacharchila. You cannot just get rid of a bug, which is a barrier, a full entity in and of itself, just by grinding it. Finally, a few basics over here. When it comes to dealing with infestations. So question number one is, if I have a vegetable which is generally not infested, but now it is infested, may I sell it to a non-Jew? The answer is no, because he's likely to sell it to a Jew. And that Jew will think, oh, there's no problem, unless there's a kashrus alert. Generally speaking, today we're fortunate enough to have incredible kashrus agencies which send out alerts. And in that situation, if it's alerted, then one can assume that a Jew will have heard about this as well. Can it be used to produce alcohol? So let's say I have an infestation of a particular grain. May I use it? May I grind up it up to use for alcohol? So he says, ironically, yes. Why is this? Because when I grind it up, I've destroyed the bug. So the bug is dismembered. It's now part. It's not a full barrier. It's not a full entity. Because a full entity can never be batel, is never annulled by no matter what the volume is against it. But when it's dismembered, then it's no longer has that, and therefore it's certainly a 1-60 ratio in terms of being annulled. I do not have the problem of annulling it by grinding in this case, because I want to use it in a liquid state, which is fine. So in this case, that actually is allowed. That's a very unique case. One cannot do this if one's using it as flour itself. What if I cut a fruit or radish and I cut through a bug? What do I do? So in this case, you obviously need to remove the bug. And one has to also wash the knife carefully and wash the edge, the area that was cut, because the juice of that bug obviously now was spread across that substance as well. Many people just throw it out, but certainly when one's careful about what the value of one's food, one can do this and will be fine as well. If I ask a shayla, may I ask a second opinion? The answer is no, unless you get permission to ask a second opinion from the posek you asked the first opinion from. But generally speaking, if you ask a kashrus shayla, it's important to stick with this. And kashrus is the one area, one of the biggest areas where halacha has a huge impact financially. So it could be that one finds bugs and infestation, one is a restaurant owner, and it infects a palate. We talk about a lot of food. There are people out there who want this food. They're demanding. Customers are impatient. And so there's a lot of difficulty when it comes to this. And no one wants anybody else regulating them and telling them what to do or not to do. Certainly not a rabbi who's going to regulate their kashrus. So in this case, it becomes difficult, which is why this is a specific area which requires a huge amount of emunah and a huge amount of emunah in practice, where one is knows the halacha and puts it into practice, and one cannot just eat there. One cannot just say, oh, I'm sure if I go there, it will be fine. It's not really a reliable hechsher, but I'm sure it's fine. You're most likely, and certainly if there's salads, you're most likely eating treif because of the bugs. So these are very big concerns, and this is a specific area where there's a lot of complexity that goes into this. With this, we conclude the next section of Forbidden Foods of Siman Memvav in the Kids. Have a wonderful and meaningful